This is Confessions of an Actress podcast, and I'm your host, Meredith Patterson. And today's guest is from Broadway and Fox's I Can See Your Voice hit TV show, the amazing Eric Kropp.
Hi, friend.
Hey, friend.
I am so excited to be talking to you today. I can't even take it. And what's so funny is that we are literally like across the street from each other in real life.
I know, you're like right over there.
You're like right over there. But we're in COVID land, and you know, sometimes it's hard enough to put on makeup and do your hair, but I'm here. And I've been wanting to talk to you for so long, literally. And I'm so excited about all the things that are happening with you. You have so much wonderfulness coming your way. And I'm just so glad to have been a part of that. The other night, how long has it been? Was it a week ago? No.
6 days ago.
Five days ago. 5 days ago. And my audience is like, what are you talking about? So 5 days ago, Eric, the wonderful Eric / Broadway Belter, made his television debut on I Can See Your Voice on Fox and blew the roof off the place. Let's start and talk about that, because I was just trying not to scream the entire time I saw you. Come out.
I was so nervous. I was like, I didn't know how it was going to turn out.
But so I have so many questions to ask, but I want to start with, how did that come about? Like, how did you get that job? Obviously, you are a phenomenal singer.
So I was in LA, and a friend of mine tagged me in a casting director's Facebook post saying, hey, do you know any singers for an upcoming pilot? And that is literally how it happened.
Social media. I mean, that's so funny, because you think like, oh, you know, I either went to like an open call or something like that, but you literally got tagged in a Facebook post because people love your voice, because you have a like crazy amazing voice, which we will talk about.
Oh my God.
Well, but no, you got tagged in a Facebook post.
Yeah. And yeah.
And then what?
And then the casting process started, and that was over a year ago.
Oh my God. So this has been
a process.
Yeah. So take me through the audition. What was the audition like? What did you have to do?
I sent them a series of just previously recorded YouTube videos, like stuff that I had already had out.
Always have to have content, right?
Yes. Okay. I have a ton of content right now, and I need more. There's not enough. and we just chatted. We had a Skype meeting that was like an hour, and we just like loved each other, me and the initial casting person. And then I never really worked with her again. They shot the pilot back in September of last year.
Yeah.
And it was just a test run to see how the show would go. And I just kind of put it out, you know, with those things, you just kind of have to put yourself out there and then forget about it.
Yep. Every audition, honey. Every audition. Mm-hmm. Just put it out there.
You don't want to get that build up and then get disappointed, you know?
Yes. Yes.
And I was up for America's Got Talent before. I was like on the, I was supposed to like.
The Voice. We'll talk about all those things that we've been up, like so many things that we are up for that we have to kind of like do, put mm-hmm. out there and let go of, because you never know if it's going to come back. And what's crazy is that I didn't know it was a year ago. Because that was going to be my next question. Like, how long to fruition is it? Well, which is very long, like, waiting time.
Yeah. So I got a call in, I think, February, end of January, early February, asking my availability for March.
Oh, God.
So right. You can see where this is going to go.
Oh, God. Right when I don't know any artist that didn't have a 2020 plan that was supposed to be like amazing. Yep. Really, truly. Yep. Kind of a very strange thing. But yes, so you got your call.
I got my call. We got our schedule. I was supposed to be the third episode to shoot on March 17th was our shoot day.
Oh, God. Okay.
So I recorded my lip sync. It was a different song than I ended up doing. I go to my first dress rehearsal. I'm in my costume. I put it on. I button the pants. I get a knock on the door. They pull all of us into the hallway and say, they told us production is halting. we'll call you in 2 weeks. Oh, and that was, it wasn't 2 weeks.
Obviously it wasn't 2 weeks, and we'll get to that in a second. But like, you make, as an actor and as a performer and all of it, like, you wait for that moment when you're going to make your television debut and all, you know, whatever it happens to be. And then like, to have that happen mm-hmm. in that moment, I didn't know that. That's a whole nother layer to it. Let's sprinkle that in.
It was insane. Honestly, I'm so grateful how it happened, because we were the first show to tape like on a major network during COVID.
Yeah.
So yeah. They had it. They had
so,
it all.
So,
it
was so they so said safe wait. And they said wait 2 weeks. So then obviously it wasn't 2 weeks.
And then 2 weeks, you know, went by. And then 2 months went by. And then 3 months went by. And there was just, you know, we kept in constant communication. And then sometime in the middle of the summer, they reached out and asked me if I was still interested in doing it. And I was like, yes, I'm you're still like, interested.
You're like, yes, Fox Network, I am.
I've been waiting forever. I've been waiting for 15 years. Yes, I'm interested.
They just had to ask.
Yeah. And
just in case you had bigger things happening during COVID.
Yeah. So many big things. But it worked out so much better than I could have ever expected. I was with you this summer.
Yeah.
That's when they started contacting about filming, and it happened really fast.
I remember you because we had met, we've known each other for only like a couple years now, which mm-hmm. just seems longer because
even though our parents have had dinner together before, and we're going to talk about that.
Oh my God. I had no idea. Wait, what? There's so much to dive into. I'm excited.
There's a lot. There's
I didn't
lot.
Know that. I love that. That's amazing.
It's a small world.
We're both from the same school. All these things that we have similarities. We both graduated from AMDA and all these.
I definitely saw you in the hallway once when I was there. Like, you brought like a poster and you were putting it up because you were going to be on a show, and you like
posters.
I was like,
I was.
There was like whispers in the hallway. That's Meredith Patterson.
Oh God. I'm one of the least known alumni of that school, but we love that school. We love AMDA. But oh, yes. Yeah. But no, there's so much to dive into. But we met a couple years ago and did a Broadway summer camp together, which I just remember like standing in one of your solos, like standing behind you and doing some backup. And you were just like, like just crazy, amazing. Like, oh, this
what
is
did
not-
I even say?
I have no remember. Idea. But I was like, this is just something that I do. And I'm just, it's not even hard. And I was anybody else? Are you guys listening to this? Like what? Like, I literally didn't know what to say. And then like, I don't know if we didn't really hang out very much. We did, but I also was just like, you're like, you have that voice that just sounds like you've always had it, which we're also going to talk about. But like, literally I've known you in this time. And then this summer was the summer that, you know, all the talks were, oh, you're going to be on this TV show. But then it's like, you probably have like an agreement where you can't say anything about anything mm-hmm. until it airs, which I know that was the case. But all of the swirling things around this, we've all been, all of your people here in Montana, because now we both live in Montana. Mm-hmm. We've all been so just waiting for this moment for you.
Oh, and thank you.
It's so exciting to have finally had it come to fruition. So let's go back to this summer when they finally said, okay, we're going to go and we're going to film this and we're going to do it COVID friendly.
Yeah. Well, I was very honest with them. I said, I'm only available after I'm done with this summer program. And they worked around my schedule. They put me in a different episode.
Fox. I like that.
I know. They were so sweet. And it actually, I flew to LA the morning after we closed our show.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
And I went home. I took a half an hour nap. I showered and I went to rehearsal.
I love it.
And I shot all the opening sequence stuff. I shot.
And your voice is
Secret
primed
Studio.
And ready.
I was yeah. ready to go.
It was
nothing like teaching to help you like prepare for your own stuff too.
Yeah.
Because you're like teaching on point.
And teaching in the heat with a mask mm-hmm. on. So you're keeping it all moist.
100 degrees. Wasn't it like, it was like in the 90s and we were teaching yeah. the sun outside. So that week was also crazy because I shot like the 9th to the 14th
Okay, yes.
And then on July 4th, we had decided to move to Montana.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know when the show was going to happen. I was like, okay, well, if it happens, I'll just fly down and do it and then come back.
Yeah.
So we got our apartment and we got the U-Haul for August 15th, which was the day after I wrapped shooting. So we shot the show. I went home after a 15-hour day and I started packing. And then the next morning, U-Haul out.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
So the timing was amazing. And I got to sing Britney Spears' Stronger in the lip sync as opposed to Jonas Brothers' Sucker. And my little 13-year-old gay heart was so happy.
Exactly. Your dog just agreed with you. Yes. And what's so funny is that I was thinking about your husband, Andrew, and his stories of like, of course, when everything happens at once, he had to, you know, you guys both were packing and moving and like, why does everything in our industry happen all at once? Like happen all at like Always. The same time? Because it just does. Like, that's the way mm-hmm. it happens. But like you said, like you got to change songs, you got to do like everything happens for a reason.
And oh yeah.
Happens so it can be in your best, like to best serve you, I think. And let me tell you, that episode was amazing. Could not have turned out better for you other than like, you know, I don't know, you get a recording deal right there on the spot from Jesse McCartney. Like why couldn't he just be like, take my,
no, give me a call.
Yeah. Something. Jesse,
Robin Thicke. Hello.
Come on, people. Let's get it together. Get it together.
So that day was an embarrassment of riches because, so if you make it to the end and you sing a duet with a celebrity, it's like a fun moment. It's like, you know, a woohoo, you get to sing a duet with, you know, somebody famous-y. And
awesome.
But the downside is if your elimination song is better.
Oh, what was your elimination song?
Somebody to Love.
Sing a little bit of it right now. Let me just hear it.
Can anybody find me somebody to love?
Okay, take a breather because I literally, you guys, he's sitting down and singing that.
Like, I've not phonated today in that way, so.
You haven't even phonated. This is where... You guys, this is what I'm talking about. This is my introduction to you is literally like, wait, what? How did that come out of you? Amazing. Well, and why?
Here's the good news is that the producers were so sad I didn't get eliminated. They had me do it anyways.
So this is stuff that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
it's going to be, they'll do like a little social media blast and,
I don't think you're done at all. I think you're still not at all.
And that song
to be continued.
Like the day before, like one of my final rehearsals for that song, all the producers, all the assistants, everybody came in and watched. It was like 40 people and they all cried.
I know.
And I was like,
because Eric, I've been there. I've been in that moment where I've like watched you sing where I'm just like, this is what you are meant to do. This is literally your gift to the world. And I'm just so happy that people are finally seeing it in mass because en masse, however you say it, like I really am just so excited to have been able to witness that for you, like witness you making your TV debut and how weird that feels and how weird that must have been after a year of waiting and all those things that were going through your head that night.
All the personal training, all the... All the running so I could fit into those pants.
All of it. And it's really important that people know that because it's a culmination of, you know, so many years and so much work and all of the things that you do behind the scenes to make it
for
work.
For
one moment in time. See, you're not going to have me sing on this podcast. But for that one moment, it is a huge deal. And I know that you've had these moments before, which you know, an embarrassment of riches. Sometimes, and I've had in my career where I've had to make a choice between two great things. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk really quickly about you having to choose your first Broadway show versus choose being on The Voice. So, because people are like, where is this guy? Where has he come from? Why hasn't he been on The Voice or this or that or American Idol or all these other things that have been around for so long? And you did have that, and you did have to make that very hard decision. Was it 2011?
2011, the summer of 2011 was a very successful summer. I booked like so many things.
Yeah. Which again, kind of you're like everything's time. Happening. Yeah, everything's happening at once. But
and then
you
have to make the choice.
Yeah. So tell me about how did you make that choice and how did you come to that choice?
So Godspell was, you know, a several month process of callbacks, just like with any Broadway show, is you go to like a general and then you go to a callback and then you go to an even more callback and then they start giving you the songs from the show and they test you out on stuff. And in between all my callbacks, I went and auditioned for American Idol and The Voice, season two of The Voice.
Okay.
And the season two of The Voice, my manager at the time wouldn't get me an appointment because she got her other clients appointments for The Voice.
Notice you said manager at the time.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I don't have any representation if anyone's listening and wants to help me out.
We're going to talk about that because
I
should be managing you. Anyway.
Amen.
I know people. I know some people.
Hey. So I went to the IZOD Center and I did the stadium auditions for The Voice. And I ended up in the casting room with Michelle McNulty, the head of casting.
Oh my God.
Just by chance. And she held me behind and she was like, you need to sing this song. You need to dress like this. You need to be our pop star guy.
I love it.
So I went in for a callback. I sang three songs. I brought a guitar player. They had me like just sing stuff that was on my phone. It was all on camera. And then if you make it past that, they do an interview right away.
Yeah.
So I went right to an interview and I talked to this girl for like a half an hour, like one of the producers, and we hit it off. And she's like, you are the most interesting person I've ever met. I was like,
maybe to her, but you are very interesting. I must say
like, this is some crazy stories. that was a whole process. And then, you know, a month goes by, you don't hear anything. And then they're like, okay, you have to add these people on your Facebook. We're going to do a background check. And then I had to sign all these crazy contracts.
Oh yeah.
And then, I let that go. I let it out of my brain and I booked Godspell and I started rehearsals. And my second day of rehearsals, I get a call from a Los Angeles number. Hey, it's the producers from The Voice. We want you to come down to LA for blind auditions.
Well, you're like, booked my first Broadway show, the Broadway revival of Godspell.
Yeah. And it was the biggest, I mean, it's a Broadway show, you know, it's a year contract. It's health insurance. It's a 401k. It is pretty decent money.
It's a dream come true. Yeah.
I was an offstage understudy and we were all on principal contracts.
Oh my God.
So it was every good time money. I went on, I got a bump. And if say I go on eight shows in a week, I got a double paycheck.
Yeah. And it's also not just the money, but it's also like people don't understand live performers, you know, Broadway's the epitome of everything. You want to get that, you want to have that stamp of approval and it doesn't just happen out of nowhere. Like it takes you time, or if you're, you know, one of the lucky ones, you get it right away, but there is no way of knowing if you're going to get that Broadway show again.
Mm-hmm.
And you got it. And then you also got this great opportunity to be on a show like The Voice, which, you know, it only had one season before. So I don't know, like, it, you know, you're like, maybe I can do it again. Like, maybe I could do it. Maybe they'll do season three or four or whatever they've had now. But
they're on like season 18, I think.
Okay. Yeah. But how did you make that? That is such a hard decision. And
I made it right then.
You just did. You just knew. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't back out of my first Broadway show. There's no way I could do it.
Yeah. And that was a gut thing, right? Like, did you feel that? Like, you just knew.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I always say to people who are actors who maybe are in a situation where they have to juggle and there is no out, there is no way to do both, that they're the CEO. Like, they're the only ones that can make that choice. You can have your reps or whoever tell you advice, but you really are in charge. Mm-hmm. And then you have to sit with that decision later on. Like, I was cast in the original cast of Footloose on Broadway, and I was cast in another show that was coming to Broadway called The Jazz Singer, which was with Randy Skinner, and it was tap dancing, and it was more my jam. Yeah. I didn't pick Footloose. I picked the other one because my gut said that one's more your thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course we all know which one went to Broadway, but you never know, but it still is a decision that I know that I made from my gut, and it still feels like the right decision because, you know, it led me to 42nd Street and White Christmas and whatever. Right. But in terms of like being a performer, you have to have these big decisions. And I think, and I know for you now, there's going to be more of those decisions that are going to have to be made because you're going to have more things coming at you all at once, mm-hmm. which is awesome and wonderful, but it's also where like you just have to keep your, you know, steady
focus
because you're so very smart with knowing that this was going to come out, knowing that you're going to be on TV with this incredible show.
Oh yeah.
You're also an amazing songwriter, and you have a lot of content out there.
Sure do.
A lot of content, which I've always talked about. I so admire that in you. But your new song just dropped.
Hey.
Yesterday, right?
Yeah, yesterday.
It never rains in LA. It's been in my head, like literally.
It never rains in California.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Love it. It's such a great song, you guys. And talk to me about how you started writing that song. Was that something that just came out of COVID or?
So this was pre-COVID. My friend who I wrote it with, Selda Sahin, she had this, she would come to LA from New York for songwriting retreats and to just, you know, network and build relationships in the Los Angeles music scene.
Yeah.
And she would stay with me, and every time that she came to LA, it would rain. And she was like, I thought this was supposed to be sunshine. And she just wrote down this kind of like lyric idea. It never rains in LA.
Yeah.
And then
that's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. And we had a writing session with a friend of mine, Chantry Johnson, who has done like vocal producing for Demi Lovato, and he was in a pretty successful band with his brothers, I believe. And he's an amazing songwriter and vocal producer. I think he's with Warner Brothers Publishing,
like Warner Chappell or whatever.
Maybe yeah. either Disney or Warner Chappell. Yeah,
they're all the same. They're all becoming the same company.
Right, I figured they are. It's big conglomerate.
That's a whole other podcast, but yes.
But he's a very talented songwriter, and he kind of laid down this. We were just working on some throwing stuff at the wall to see how we vibe together, and he threw down this really cool like kind of Post Malone type beat, and I just went, it never rains in LA, it never rains in California, it never rains in LA. And it just, that's, I just kind of went off of that, took her lyric.
It just came out of you.
Yeah.
Literally.
And because then we had other verses. The song was completely different. And then Selda and I had our own little session after. And then because of COVID, I started producing my own stuff and learning. And
yeah.
What the version is now is a co-production with another guy, Mark Byers, who did like, Hey Kitty Girl, It's Your World, like RuPaul stuff.
Oh, and yeah.
He did a lot of, he's had dance hits. He's an amazing Berklee College of Music.
It is so well done. Guy. It's so funny because I actually have, you know how this is how you have your art, you have your song, you have an idea of something, you put it out there, and then everybody interprets it the way that they interpret it, however mm-hmm. they do. I completely thought this was written during COVID because of the way the song starts. I was connecting, yeah. You know what I mean? I was connecting it because what's the first lyric, the first part of the song?
I woke up on the wrong side of the bed 6 months ago.
Because I literally thought, I was like, Yeah, we all did, but it's now 10 months. Now it's, you know, yeah. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and I thought of like, it never rains in LA was like a metaphor for like, it's never, you know, there is never like, I seriously connected it all to the coronavirus, which is just my own interpretation of it.
I recorded the vocals during COVID. So probably like that energy is totally in there. The production kind of came out of that kind of heaviness and the weight of being isolated. And the courses are defiantly positive.
Yes, yes. And so it can be connected to that, but it is such a beautiful, I say beautiful because your voice just makes me so happy. And it's such a powerful song. It's such a great song. It sticks in your head. I literally have been singing it all morning.
Sick.
Like getting ready to talk to you. I love it. And we're going to do a video of it. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I have some ideas. I think we get a stage.
Oh my God. Yes.
We go to like the O'Shaughnessy.
I love it. I love all of it.
Camera. Well, yeah, we're going to direct and choreograph the hell out of this.
I love it. I'm so excited because you guys, this is what COVID and artists should be doing. Like in COVID, we should be doing this all the time anyway. And that's something that you're just a genius at doing. But I feel like in this time to kind of keep our sanity with everything, we have to still create. And I'm not saying you have to do that every day. Like you can take a break and sit on the couch and Netflix and chill or all those things that you have to do. Listen to a podcast, if you will, but you have to also do something that's going to create and get that out there. All those ideas that keep flowing, and it's what keeps us alive and makes us feel good, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We need it.
And also teaching. Like I know that you have been a teacher. We have so much in common. We both graduated from AMDA in New York. We both taught at Studio School in LA. Love yep. that school. We have both taught in Broadway camps, and I feel like you and I both have a massive passion for teaching kids. And
absolutely,
I don't know how you were. I know that I read somewhere that your grandmother helped you find your voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So my grandma was a singer.
She was a singer because I feel like you've probably always had this voice and always had this confidence in your voice, but I'm sure that there's been gaps. But go back to her teaching you and helping you find your voice and you know, the little kid in you, like, there's so many things I want to say about that. But like, I keep thinking of like, when I teach, I think about the little kid in myself.
Teaching, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like giving back. So take me all the way back to grandma.
So we would sit and play cards and she would sing and like teach me songs and then have me do harmonies. And we would do, she had a little den where she had a cassette recorder and a microphone and she would make me and my cousins sing songs with her.
Oh my God, I love it. And what kind of singer was she?
Church
singer. Okay. But
church,
she sang.
Church alto. Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Gorgeous, gorgeous voice. But you know, different times she never got to like pursue her art at all, or you couldn't even think. The whole point of life was to, you know, buy a house and raise 2.5 kids and just that's it.
My grandmother also thought being a dancer wasn't a real career, but she wanted to be an artist as well. It's kind of funny that generational thing, but then it can then influence you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and they've always been very supportive. Like my grandma was my number one fan. And my mom, I won't make her mad. My mom's my number one fan.
Hi mom. Thanks.
Hi mom. There's actually recordings I have, when my grandma passed, my grandpa put together all the music that we recorded together and put it on a CD for us.
Oh God, that's so awesome.
So there's a recording of me singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at 4 years old. And I'm all shy at first. And she's like trying to interview me. And then I sing and it's like the loudest.
At four.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I was like already modifying vowels.
At red four.
Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Red nose
is harder to sing. And I would like mess up the lyrics and she would try to encourage me to continue. And I, on the recording, say, no, I have to start over.
Oh my God.
Because
I
had to
you.
Get it right. Like I had to get it right.
This is so interesting to me because I really do believe that you are, as Lady Gaga says, born with it. Like you really are, you really are. It's not something that like you can force upon a child or whatever. Like you have that music in you and that want to sing and that perfectionism and all these artist things that we all kind of have on ourselves, mm-hmm. which some of them are really great and some of them are kind of negative. The perfectionism thing. Ugh. I know, perfectionist. Mm-hmm. Hello, welcome.
But I definitely pushed to sing. Like I was kind of alone a lot as a kid. Just everyone was kind of figuring out their stuff. I was in between parents. We were living with my grandparents at some points. It was just kind of a whirlwind of chaos a little bit.
But,
grandma always made sure she got to choir lessons and she paid for my voice lessons for a little bit when I was 16. And the music was always consistent.
You always had music as your solace,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah. I would awesome. Sing myself to sleep. I would like sing in the bathtub. I'd always make
and you
noise.
Always and you know what's so great about you is that you always still are. And it is something that I do love about you because I as a child was told, you know, I love you, brother. But he used to say like, you know, stop singing. And like, who sings that song? You know, let's keep it that way. Kind of thing. And like, I would be quiet and I got into that shy place and
it's a tough place to get out of.
It's a tough place to get out of, but you always seem like you have had this confidence in not any way of a cocky way, which is so hard.
Oh, thank you.
I really do see that in you because trust me, we've all in this business have seen the cocky people.
Oh, my favorite compliment is like, you're so good, but you know that. And I was like, I'd be like, well, it doesn't hurt to tell me. So thank
it's
you.
It's not, no, there is this thing that you have, and it's so hard to really describe it because it's not a quiet confidence. It's not a step back and don't look at me confidence, but it's not a step forward and everyone else doesn't matter but me thing. It is that you just know that you have this. And I love that. And it is what I wish everybody could sit in their gift. I wish everyone could.
Amen.
I wish everyone could sit in their gift without feeling, and who knows if you feel this way, but not feeling that people are wanting you to diminish your light to make them feel better. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, that's something I talk to like all my students about, is that your gift has nothing to do with anybody else.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
And once I hear my philosophy of singing is once I set the intention to make noises and communicate out of my mouth. And yep. then once it is out of my mouth, it's not mine anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong to me. My intention is what belongs to me. And then once it's out of my body, it's for everybody else.
Oh, it's so smart.
I don't own it. I don't own my voice. I don't own how people feel about my voice. It's not up to me.
That's what it is, Eric. That's exactly what it is. That is why you have this. That's the level of confidence that you have. It is that it is. I talk about this book all the time, Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, where you just put the magic comes to you. You have this thought or this gift or this song that you want to sing, and it goes out into the back out into the world. Mm-hmm. And that is what we are. That's what we're meant for. That's why we're artists. We're not here to be boastful and look at me, look at me, look at me. And when you sing, it's one of those things that's very, you have an amazing gift and you have these amazing voice, like ways that you can sing and very impressive things that you do, but it's not for, I know it's, I can hear and I can sense it. It's not for the look at me thing. It is that you are giving the gift back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I love about you so much that I just want to, and Dustin and I were talking about this after we saw your TV debut. We were like, you're the person we just want to be a huge superstar. You deserve it. You deserve it not only for all the work that you do, but you deserve it because your gift just really brings people to another place. It does bring tears to people's eyes, and in a really great way, like in a way that's so from your heart. And more of that, it's very true. There's more. More of that has to be out in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I want more of that. I want more of that in the world. And I want
self-serving art. Like,
thank you.
Has become so, like, music has become so corporate. And it's like people are pumping out singles so they can have a number one, so they can make money. And I get, like, making money and being known is important for survival of artists. But, like,
oh my God, yes, of course.
The CEO of Spotify is like a billionaire.
Yeah, I know. And he's giving you like pennies on, like a
dollar.
Yeah, like not even a dollar. I think it's actually going down even more now. There was something about like, oh, we're going to give you a penny. So if you have 100,000 streams, we're going to give you $600. What? What the? So there is, obviously you have to be smart about business, which you are. Obviously, you know that I love talking about the business side of show, but the artistic side of it has to be genuine and has to come from a place, and we have to be allowed to do our art and
time.
Yeah.
It's so rush, get something out.
Yeah.
And art is hurt by that because there's a process. You have to go through a process to create something organic and real and connective.
Yeah. And nobody knows what's gonna land and what isn't. Nobody still knows. I mean, we've been, you know, since the times of the Greeks, no one freaking knows what song is going to be great or what show is going to be great or whatever. And you have to allow that process, and everyone's process is different. And sometimes you just bust out, "It never rains in LA," out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Or it takes you time to really find that hook or find what you want to say. And, you know, I think if there's a positive part of this COVID crazy nightmare, it is that we have had time to create. We've had time to be methodical about what we really want to do and how we really want to, you know, and where we want to live. And I know a lot of artists have been displaced from big cities. And I don't necessarily think that's a terrible thing.
It is not.
I love it. I love living in this beautiful country.
It's taken the saturation and dispersed it a little more.
Yeah.
And it's going to give other people shots, and it's going to help the community that we live in now needs art.
Yes, absolutely.
We need it.
Yes. We need to spread the love and have people become a little more educated about things and life and yeah.
And the best way to do that without violence is through music and performances.
You. Yes, absolutely. I really, there's so many more things that I could talk to you about, and I adore you, and I love that we're becoming friends and now we live in the same place. It makes me happy. I need to hear about the story about my parents and your parents having dinner or lunch.
This was like back in, I want to say while I was at AMDA, or like maybe 2006 or seven.
Okay.
My parents were having dinner somewhere in the Bay Area, in San Francisco, I'm sure. And they were talking about, I think they were next to your parents at another table.
Okay.
And somehow the conversation of their kids came up.
Oh, my, because my parents are not shy about talking about. Anyway.
Then they probably started because my parents are like so complimentary and talk. My dad like will talk about me to everyone, and then he'll never tell me anything.
Yes, my dad is very loud, booming voice, and is about 6'3". So he will talk about all of us. I'm one of four, so he'll talk about all the kids and all that stuff. But if the subject of show business comes up, boy, my dad and my mom both love to talk about it. So they probably were the ones to initiate, well, my daughter went to AMDA. What about, oh, well, I, you know, or what, however.
And I guess they hit it off. They found that connection somehow. And then they ended up having dinner together.
That's crazy.
Before we knew each other.
That's nuts. That was the preface to us meeting. We were supposed to meet. That was the universe going like, let's see how their parents get along.
Yeah.
You know, and then now we live in the same place. So maybe our parents can all get together when all this crazy coronavirusness is over.
Hey.
Hey.
Get that vaccine, parents. Get it.
Well, I love you. I am celebrating you always.
I love you too.
How can people get in touch with you and do like, you know, do coachings with you and do lessons with you if you're offering that? I don't know. You're going to be super busy.
I'm trying not to take on a bunch of stuff because we're about to go into Yuletide and
we're about to do
the vocals for that. So I'm going to be very busy.
Yes. So we're all doing, we're doing some amazingness here at, you know, ATP, atpwhitefish.org. Mm-hmm. Everybody go look if you want to be a part of Yuletide and get, we're doing some virtual stuff, but Yuletide's, this will be my second year of Yuletide. And, you know, we love.
It's so magical.
It's so magical. Yes.
But if people want to reach out to me, the best way is Instagram. It's simple, clean, at Eric M. Crop. Crop with a K.
Eric Michael Crop. Yes. Yes. And all of that will be in the show notes. But I adore you. I could talk to you for another hour. I know.
This is so easy.
I am celebrating you all the time. I really, go AMDA alumni and
yeah.
And now ATP alumni and, you know, Whitefish Montana artists.
The best place in the world.
The best place in the world. And yeah.
You're the best.
You're the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey. I love you.
Love you.
Love you.
To support this podcast, make a donation, or become a sponsor, visit confessionsofanactress.com. Subscribe, like, and share your favorite episodes on all your social media platforms, and be sure to tag us at Confessions of an Actress. And if you're feeling extra generous, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. I really appreciate the love. And remember, have vision for what you want and be grateful for where you are every single day. Take care of yourselves.